This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
You're listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Not have a cent to pay the rent, but we gonna make it. I know we will. We may have to eat beans every day, but we gonna make it. I know we will.
And if a job is hard to find and we have to spend in the welfare line, I've got your love and you know you got mine.
I know we will. We may not have a home to call our own, but we're gonna make it. I know we will. We may have to fight hardships alone, but we're gonna make it. I know we will.
Work togetherness brings peace of mind. We can't stay down all the time.
Mind. So we're gonna make it. I know we will. Our car may be old, our shoes cold, but we're gonna make it. I know we will. We may not can spare a road to come, but we're gonna make it. I know we will.
And if I have to carry around a sign saying, help the deaf, the dumb, and the blind, I've got your love and you know you've got mine.
So we're gonna make it. I know we will.
We're gonna make it.
We're gonna make it.
Good morning, and welcome again to the Carol Cox Show. Looking out over the Pali, beautiful mountains, and you can see the Vog and some of the clouds. And for those of you who pick it up on podcasts, every day here in Hawaii is a beautiful day. So, and it's, we're reminded that this is a living planet. And what we also should be reminded of is that we should take care of it. And all the debate about global warming, the debate, is it occurring, is it not occurring? Well, if you can imagine, we have a natural explanation here. We have the volcano, which is spewing and emitting the gases and ashes and what have you. But in Los Angeles, and other places where you see the ozone that's quite visible, no volcano, nothing spewing. So if there is some of you out there want to debate it, we do as human beings have impacts. And we should always be reminded of that. And it would be nice to, when the debate comes up in Congress or wherever, in the halls of universities, to take a good video and just show the natural impacts of gases being spewed over the atmosphere. And we do know that it'll have an effect here on plants. And just like the gases and all, so I'm not saying global warming is as the environmentalists have preached it and taught it, but I can say realistically that it is a problem. So, and our behavior contributes to it. If you want to call in, 524-1080, 524-1080, KWAI. And you can also pick this up at podcast at carolcox.com, CARROLLCOX.com. Now, last week we talked, and I am just amazed at the number of people that are actually going to the website. And just in the last 4 days, some of you apparently really interested in what we have to say and what we have to share. Or there are 7,000 FBI agents and Homeland Security sitting listening and ticking and tacking on the... But anyway, I appreciate that, and I keep telling you the numbers because I'm trying to offer you something, not help you make a decision, but give you food for thought. And I want to continue to do that. And I got here this morning, and there is M, if I know you're listening out there, and if you, on the other show, on the Polka show, if you wanted to talk about something, if you're more than welcome to call it up and share it with the public. I'm always open, and that's what we are here. If you have something that the other hour time didn't permit or whatever, feel free. Anything goes here except for foul language and name calling in the sense of belittling someone. But other than that, have at it. 524-1080. Now, I spoke with a couple of people, and they're really excited about the information we bring. But there's one little thing that it's like the burr in the sock. It annoys me. I think some of you are missing the point, or maybe it's just a natural reaction to say that, well, you know, you don't like this certain politician, or you don't like this person, or you're really mad at that person. And by no means do I have the time to get mad or not like someone, especially when you claim you're trying to tell the truth. That can get in the way of you telling the truth or telling a lie, so... So what happens, we talked last week about Mayor Mufi Hanneman and Mr. Daniel Inouye, Senator Daniel Inouye. He is still a senator, and he's still deserving of that respect and that title. But what I want to do is continue somewhat on the course of trying to show you and provide you information out here that you probably wouldn't know under normal circumstances. You probably would never obtain it because the papers are not going to tell it. Many other sources are not going to tell it because it is rather complicated. And the information is just, it's amazing. Within government, there are chameleons. I'll describe it as that. And that's not to be mean-spirited, but there are chameleons. And there are people like, I guess, any government. When you overthrow or take over, you embed your own to manage and to oversee the activities. You leave your own people there to make sure you control things. Well, how many of you are out there, and if you are familiar, what I'd like to hear from you, if you're on the Big Island, give us a call, 524-1080. Anywhere in the islands, we're reaching out now. But how many of you have heard of the Pacific Century Fellows? And the Pacific Century Fellows, if you're near a computer, go Google the Pacific Century Fellows, and I'm going to share with you, and this is, again, in the line, not where you're being mad or hating a certain politician or anyone, but... Let's go look that up right quick. Em, you're on the line there? Aloha.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning. How are you?
Morning. Fine.
Yeah, well, they run out. We all run out of time.
That's okay.
And
I understand. I was told this morning to that other guy, we're not here to talk story. If you like talk story, you go to call somebody else. He wasn't very civil to me. And he was talking about civilization and being civil.
Well, you know, I wasn't intending to, you know, talk about a polka or anything, but I thought maybe you had a point that you wanted to share with the public out there.
Yeah, I wanted to share about how I am being treated by these talk show guys.
Okay.
Just like, oh, she's on the sauce. She has nothing better to do than to call the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got so much to do. You wouldn't believe, you know, Cox, how we are so busy with each other.
Yeah.
And talking about civilization and being civil. He wasn't being very civil to me.
Well, he just having the time. I'm not making excuses for you. And so what I'm not... intervening in a fight or a discussion.
No, I'm not fighting you.
I'm just affording you.
Don't get me wrong, I like him.
Oh, yeah, he's a good man. So I'm just affording you this time. So, you know, share with me and share with the public out there what it is that I like to have other people get their word out.
Now, when people talk to you, you listen to them. You don't tell them, call another show. You don't judge me. But every time I call these other persons in this radio, they say, call another show. She's on a sauce. They only have gossips on me.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not mad or fighting. But, you know, don't talk about civilization.
Yeah.
Civilization is everybody getting together. Never mind what nationality. Never mind how rich or how poor. We have to have a civilization. Everybody together.
Mm-hmm.
That's all the way I think about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're always a good listener and all, and polka always have good things to talk about. And
yes.
So, again, I want you to go away understanding. I'm not intervening in anything.
Oh, no.
It's
I'm not tattletailing on him either.
And I don't want to see...
But it has happened so many times.
Well, I don't want to discuss that part.
Okay.
I want to give you, this is what we're here for.
Yes.
It's not to discuss whether he's good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah, thank you for... watching out for us and letting the wrong things be right.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate you as a moderator.
Yeah. Well, we're here to be respectful.
You would make a good leader for us here in the island of Oahu.
I would probably get in an office.
Yes.
And in 1 week, I'd have all my friends would be wearing Italian tailor-made suits and... And I'd have me 4 cars, and you wouldn't know me. I'd grow my hair long.
Oh.
And then I would be at every golf course, and I'd be in Washington, hanging out with the president. I'd build me a big... I'd build me a big train.
Is that what you would do?
Oh,
and you would say, oh, that guy just big kid now. He's not helping us. Our leader. It's wrong to think that way.
No.
My dear Cox, my special leader, you wouldn't do that, would you?
No, but you understand what I'm saying. It appears that this is the normal
thing. Turned into a king all of a sudden, my leader. So I have to vote for someone else.
Yeah, and then they would go get
you wouldn't
car.
Do that, Mr. Cox.
No, you understand.
Yeah.
It's just something.
Yes, I understand. Thank you so much for letting me air my wrongs and rights to you.
Well, anytime.
Yeah, and thank you for listening.
You're more than welcome, and keep up the fight. Thank you.
Okay.
Aloha.
Bye bye.
All righty. Anyway, no, I wouldn't go out and buy a new car and 4 Cadillacs. Well, why did I say Cadillac? Anyway, the car today is BMW or a Mercedes, right, Francis? You got to have a BMW if you're successful, right? Well, that's okay, too. But anyway, back to this Pacific Fellows. Now, just because you're a part of something does not mean that something is a part of you. Or just because you are affiliated or went to school somewhere means that school is a part of you or dictating every thought that you do or commit or everything you engage in. The Pacific Fellows is a project or program, I should say, that was founded, and this is the founder's quote. Hawaii will face numerous challenges in the upcoming years if your island home is to prosper economically socially and culturally, we need to identify and support the emerging generations of leaders. By nurturing them, we will ensure the future of Hawaii. End quote. Now, I'll tell you who that is, Charlene. Some of you might know, but the objective of the Pacific Century Fellows Program is to develop leaders with a greater awareness and sensitivity to the people and institutions of Hawaii. Based on the White House Fellows Program, the Pacific Century Fellows Program will bring together annually up to 32 of Hawaii's most promising individuals from all walks of life, fields, and professions. They'll gain a broader view of the civic duty through the direct contact with senior community, social and government leaders. The program encourages the development of long-term relationships between leaders, young and old, united in their commitment to find creative solutions to the challenges facing the state. Now, some of those people that have attended, and again, remember now, this is not to say that they are wrong for attending this and not participating in it, and because you're a part of it doesn't mean it's a part of you. But some of the people that have been there is someone like Mayor Billy Kanoi on the Big Island and all, and Kika Bukowski and some others, quite a few people. The quote that I quoted is from Mayor Mufi Hanneman. Mayor Mufi Hanneman is the founder of the one of the founders, I should say, of the Pacific Fellows. Nothing wrong with that. That is a very good deed. It's always good to mentor people and have students to come up and show them the right way and show them how to incorporate factors of making decisions. And really, that is something I think he should be applauded for. One of the concerns, though, is that if you look within government, and this is about government, this isn't a private person who is going along the way and reaching back in a private incorporation or a private entity. This is a person who wants to be the mayor, he wants to be the governor, he wants to possibly be president of these United States. So let's look at this program. And I'm offering this, you can go away with your own conclusions, but I want to give you some things that you can look at. And, you know, the mayor, Mayor Mufi Hanneman, for example, has put up the aggressive fight to build the rail. Now, one of his new students in this just past year, in the 11th Pacific Century Fellows class, selected, was Kathy Kealoha. Kathy Kealoha is the director of the State of Hawaii Office of Environmental Quality Control. Now again, just because you're part of something don't mean that something is a part of you and influences you. But there comes a time when we should think about, is it possibly that I could be influenced by this relationship? Does it look right? Is it right? Does it invite questions of integrity? Does it do anything to compromise the mayor's stance? Or does it compromise the Pacific Fellows program? What does it really do? So that's where the individual have to decide. This is where the mayor has to decide. If he's teaching and mentoring people along the way, no problem. But if you have the intentions of running for mayor, becoming mayor, and still run the program, and still invite people, and then you have the capacity of electing these officials, let's take Elizabeth Char, who's the Emergency Medical Center, or Medical Services, I think. She's a former member. And in earlier shows, you heard that I told you that while other more qualified individuals were readily available and were competing and were interviewed, Hanneman had issued instructions to keep the position open because he wanted her. One of his minions. And so this is where the line crosses. It's a difference between educating an individual for the sake of the community, for the sake of good government, it smacks in the face of conflict when you then become part of the government and then you surround yourself with these individuals. As I said to you earlier, governments that take over governments install their own governments or their minions. And in turn, in this, if you were to find the way this behavior is occurring, you'd be a little shocked. Now, you might think that, no problem. And where do we get corruption from? When does corruption start to take place? When does it get its roots in? Is it the ceiling that's just laying there? Is it the individual that's sitting in the office? Where does the corruption start? When does it grow to be out of control? We don't know. We don't have any means of gauging. But what we can do is stand back and look and assess to see what it is that individuals resort to and strategies that they employ. With this situation, the Pacific Fellows, and there are some good people out there that have gone through this program, and again, feel free to call me up, send me a letter. I'll read it if you have disagreements. But I'm sharing with you what causes me concern, and here's why it causes me concern. Our government is not running efficiently. If it was running, were to be run efficiently, I'd have no legs to stand on. I'd invite you to throw rocks at me and take me and put me in the public plaza and stone me. But we seem not to be able to do the people's bidding and do the people's work. We have so much conflict, cost overrun, increases in taxes. We have corruption. We have all of those things. We have kids can't go to school. We have homeless. We have you name it. And in turn, we have this relationship. So is this the first step in building elitists? Is this the first step in building corruption? And again, this number, 524-1080, I want to hear from you out there. I don't want to just talk to you and tell you, and you call up and say whatever you want to, but I want to share with you. There's Bert T. Kobayashi, who's heading the campaign for Mayor Hanneman, and for governor, the exploratory, whatever you call it. Now, Bert Kobayashi is Kobayashi, Sugita, and Goda, the law firm. Bert Kobayashi is also the advisory to the Pacific Fellows. Now, Bert Kobayashi is, this is not to speak bad of him, but the question is, when you're in government, then I want to know what you're doing. If you're involved with government, then I personally want to know what you're doing, because I'm a free man, and I want to stay free. And I want to ask my elected officials, when you deviate from the things that look as though it's free, I want to ask, who are your associates? What are they doing? What are you allowing them to do? How much are you being influenced by them? These are the types of questions. So it's not to speak about Kobayashi. It's about what the Hanneman regime wishes to do and how it is functioning. You heard me talk about the tentacles that it reaches out in every little place. So let's say you had, for example, challenges of Hanneman's spending on the rail. And I think there are other things, and things that we may not have known, where you as citizens file a complaint with the Honolulu or the Honolulu Ethics Commission. And you don't hear anything back. Or you realize that it is a violation, and I mean, it's common sense, and you're all the things that you know about, it's a violation. and something was wrong. And something is wrong. So what happens is that I want to show you how this worked. So Bert Kobayashi is managing Hanneman's, one of the managers are spearheading this, and he does contracts. You look on their webpage, you'll see one of the clients of this is the city and county of Honolulu. And you look and list the attorneys that work for, or partners that work for, the Kobayashi, Sugita, and Goda. You'll find Lex R. Smith, Mr. Lex R. Smith. Mr. Lex R. Smith is the chairperson of the Honolulu Ethics Commission. Now, that's not to say, the intent here of making that statement is to impugn the integrity of Mr. Smith. It is to question the behavior of Mayor Mufi Hanneman. Because for every action that he takes, and for every step that he makes, he needs to be guided by, does it appear that there's a conflict of interest? Do I get complaints from people about my administration? Will those complaints go through the Ethics Commission for investigation and for rulings? Yes. Then I don't need to have my campaign manager for my potential undeclared gubernatorial campaign to have a partner working for me in the Ethics Commission. And not only just working, being the chairperson. So chairpersons or chairmen or whatever you want to call politically correct, you have the right to table something, you have the right to prolong it, delay it, calendar it, schedule it. And is it just mere coincidence that these names pop up? Is it mere coincidence that Hanneman would witness the fact that Lex R. Smith, who works for his campaign manager or gubernatorial manager, Kobayashi, be in place in the Ethics Commission? Now, keep in mind, I didn't say that Lex R. Smith was a party planner. I'm saying to you that if we as citizens were to see something wrong, the most critical part of our daily activity in the management of our government and government working good for us, Hanneman knowingly has one of his entities or relationships or people that is associated with him, with people that support him, as the head chairperson. Now, did he appoint him? I don't know. But he stands to benefit. So he has an obligation to say or to raise these issues. It just does not look right. So I want to know, what do we do? 524-1080, do we start to vote independent? Do we register for some other party? Do we create our own party? What do we do? Okay. Anyway, it all so serious here, but my question is, what do we do? Do we just go out and party because it's all over? Do we get drunk and throw our hands up and say, we've been beaten, we're going to have a mayor? And if you don't remember me for anything on this I've done in my life, the environment is dear to me. Being fair to people is the most important thing in life. Looking at people's civil rights, I have my moments. But what I want you to remember me for is this one thing. I think that you should care about yourself, and I think that you should know that the party hadn't started, it's not over, you still have the right to vote. Absolutely no way can you sit and say to yourself, well, we could do better because we don't know what we're going to get. What I'm saying to you is that Mufi Hanneman has his tentacles in everything, and it does not speak well. I'm trying to demonstrate to you that this, the people that join his team, the people that he appoint, isn't motivated. The appointments aren't motivated merely on what they can do good for the people. It has all the appearance and the directions that it, the reflections that it is to serve Hanneman. Imagine, you get the opportunity to create a school to teach people, and that's not to be insulting and say the people can't think for themselves, but you teach them, and they become minions, some of them. And they, in turn, go through your school, and they find their way out in life. Now, they're not going out, and some of them are making private businesses, but a lot of them that are in private business turn around and go back to the public resources, state parks, city parks, and in turn come back and do business with the city. Are they using their connections from the Pacific Fellows program? What are they doing? How are they able to get in and get out and get these relationships to go? So what goes on with this? In this advisory board, the executive director is Trudy Saito for the Pacific Fellows. Trudy is a deputy managing director at the city and county of Honolulu. I say that she's Hanneman's right-hand person. Caldwell is there, but the person that runs the show is Trudy Saito. I've gone and actually spoken before I knew all of this and found out that these people are finding their way back to government, or they're running businesses that's going to require the Department of Planning and Permitting within the city and county of Honolulu to approve their permits. You take, for example, HRI. You go out there, and there is a big development out there at Lae side. The Jason McQuivey is a attorney for HRI, or I don't know his formal title, but you can find it right there on. There's a beautiful picture of him at the Pacific Century Fellows website. And there are some issues out there in Lae on that development that the Department of Planning and Permitting can't seem to, I'm told, can't find. Some of the documents, or the public can't get the documents. But imagine, there you have it. Now, again, you can call me mean-spirited and say that I'm casting a spell on these people, or saying, I'm projecting something negative on them, that they have a right to go to the Pacific Fellows. And that is true. If I didn't get to say the other half of it, the other half of it, of this equation that makes it bad, is that Hanneman not only teaches it, he in turn not only found it, he's mentoring them, and then he then still wants to get in government and then invite these people. And some of them, not all of them. But that's the problem. Haiea State Park, the Department of Planning, Land and Natural Resources, there's an issue, a contested case occurring right now where the Friends of Haiea wanted to keep this property and operate it for many years as they have, and I think some of the members there and board members are the original founders of this. The Haya State Park Advisory, or Friends of Haya, and correct me if I'm tossing the wrong name around, but nonetheless, they're out on their nose now because Thielen, Laura Thielen at DLNR and those guys went out and has actually given Kamaaina Kids, Kamaaina Care Inc., multiple year lease, kicked the Haya Friends out on their noses. Now, again, I'm just trying to share with you what I know about this. And let me just show you. The founders of Kamaaina Care, one of them, for example, is Mark Nishiyama. Mark Nishiyama is a member of the Pacific Fellows. He's a class of 2004 testimony. You'll find him there. Another individual is Ryan Takaki. So, again, don't call me up and say, well, I'm saying that they are doing something wrong. No, I'm saying that the public, it appears, that our leaders within the agencies, state agencies and city agencies, seem to be favoring people that have had affiliations with or going through this Pacific Fellows program. And this is an open invitation to Mayor Mufi Hanneman to come on and talk about it. Maybe he won't be in that capacity as mayor. If he'd like to come in as the founder of the Pacific Century Fellows Program, I welcome him. Or any capacity you want to come with. But please, and give me a call here, and you can send me an email. I'm extending an invitation. If there's something that I have said or misrepresented, please feel free to come in and clarify. But the real issue is, you know, we as I said the other day, we think that someone's going to pull up in a black car with black gloves and a black mask and a black helmet on and sneak through your window and beat you and your family to death or take you out and put you in chicken wire and take you out at Y&I and dump you. It doesn't have to happen that way. What happens is that you want to contest a case. You think that $100 million was spent improperly to fund a study regarding the rail. You go down and you file a complaint. And the Ethics Commission, the City Ethics Commission, investigates it or hears it. And you get a ruling back, no findings, unfounded. Don't know, can't say that it actually occurred or someone used their powers, but for the nerve of Hanneman to knowingly have one of his cohort. And by the way, if you go look at campaign spending, you'll find that Lex R. Smith, donates to Hanneman for the campaign and what have you. So is that, you know, with this recent Supreme Court ruling, one may argue, well, corporations can donate money now, and no problem. That's true, but they didn't say anything about we should stop looking for the corruption and the influence. So nobody gives you something for nothing. And especially, we all should know that if it's government, I don't think that many people are so committed to the American way and to the well-being of our culture that they haven't been influenced by the capitalistic benefits. So there's some benefit to them. They come to do good and will do well. Now, again, that's the that's basically, I don't want to bore you with all of this, but it goes on and on and on with the number of people involved in this program. And that is why I say it's not guilt by association, But I'm rethinking, and I love, there is nothing more pleasant to think about than to know that Barack Obama, president, is the president of these United States. But I am saddened when I hear and read the press releases that Hanneman sends out that he's going to get to have lunch with the president. And that's okay. That's part of the protocol. But again, it's to say to you out there, it's like the police chief who goes into the boroughs of Chicago and hangs out in the barbershop. And there you walk into that barbershop, and everybody in that community knows that this is the, this guy is the drug king, the gambling king, the bookie king, and all of that. And here's the chief of police standing there smiling with him. What does that message send? It sends a message to the smaller people in that community. I know the chief of police, so you better not step out of line. You better not report me. You better not cross me. Or, because I'm in good with the chief of police. That one picture there. And some of you may say that, well, you know, that's really wrong for you to go to that extreme. Well, no. We actually wrote, and I personally wrote, to Mr. Weiner and sent in letters and emails asking Mr. Obama to, when doing, he was in the candidacy stage for president, to actually not lend himself to this and validating this behavior. Do some background on this. Good morning, Rick. Got a caller?
Yeah, Carol.
Yes.
Yeah. if we have enough time, maybe we can cover them all. But I'll ask you, you've seen a picture of someone that was photographed standing next to a police chief. Huh. And yeah, this should be of public concern because of who this individual is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, can you... I didn't catch... I don't know how deeply you went into it, but I didn't...
Okay.
Elaborate on this.
Well, let's take, for example, Gary, Indiana. And I'm going to school in Gary, so I think I have family there, and I'm familiar with that. I knew they had the bookies and the booking games and the crime and the drugs and, you know, and the prostitution. And what you would do, some of these guys that were, you know, the bookies or the crime syndicate, they would love to obtain, have the opportunity, the chief of police, for example, or the mayor, to be photographed with them. And then you take that photograph and you put it in the barbershop. You put it in the bar, even in your office. Now, the common person in that community know who you are. They know you're the bookie runner. They know you're the drug dealer, right?
Right.
And so... they might be inclined to report you to the police department. But now here's this picture of the chief of police standing there, shaking hands with Joe the bookie or Danny the pimp. Would you be inclined to call the chief of police? Well, you know, I mean, and it's all speculation, but human nature. I mean...
For the police chief to be like a...
Well, no, the police chief is
certainly
just...
would not call up. I mean, let's face it, most people reporting a suspicion or even a crime that they witnessed, they're going to call a 911 and they're going to get the police dispatch, I guess. Right.
Right.
So I mean, it's not like you can call up... Well, I guess what you meant to say is would you be inclined to report to law enforcement in general? Would you even call 911 after you see that?
Well, what I...
You mean to say?
No, well, I think I'm a little cautious when someone asks me what did I mean to say when I've already said what I said twice. I will, for clarification for you, I would say, again, impressions. If for example, you know this recent incident there at the White House, where the people, the uninvited people supposedly,
Yes.
Now,
just saw them appear before a congressional committee.
And, well, no problem with that. That's moving way past the pages that I want to talk about. We haven't read first.
The Salahis.
The Salahis. So why do you suppose they went to the length that they did to get in there? Because a picture of them with the socialites, they, you know, and them shaking a hand with the president would do what? Send a message of some sort, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You understand? So, in these communities, you and I probably never, well, you, I have, you probably wouldn't know the full impact of these pictures and this opportunity. You just don't want to be caught as the chief of police standing there high-fiving or smiling with Danny the Pimp. Because Danny the Pimp now, when his girls see that, they know, he knows the chief of police. They don't know what the circumstances. They don't know if the chief of police was just walking by and came by to arrest the dude, but he got a picture, smiling. You understand? It's that impression.
Yeah.
And that is a common element in the communities when people befriend, because they don't, you know, in these communities, cops can be corrupt. Gary, Indiana, I mean, you know, it's a known fact that, and up and down the highways there in the states. You follow? So it's that kind of, it would be, there's so many examples, but that's why, and I hope I explained that to you.
Were you referring to a specific police chief?
No. Oh. The point, well, it all relates to the inference. When something gives the impression, see, we're talking about ethics.
Yes.
And the appearance of ethics violations. See, you don't have to violate it. Thank God you don't. It's the appearance that causes the same uneasiness, because it will discourage a free person to go through and follow through with their wishes in life.
Right.
You wouldn't want to be walking through life as you're on a billiard table. Well, I got to avoid that, and I can't say this, because if I say this, this guy's going to take my job away. If I say that, that guy's going to, you understand, or is going to fire my brother, and on and on and on. You understand?
Well, yeah, it's like if you're an architect in this town and you have concerns about this rail project, and if you... depending on where you want to go, what you want to do, if you, you have to kind of keep your head down, keep your mouth shut, right?
Well, yeah, but in a free nation, no. People like Hanneman, if they're going to employ these tactics, they got to keep their head down. They have to be the one to step out of government. We have to be the ones to remind them of that, because guess what? Here's the science behind this. You know the scientific part of this thing of politics and voting?
What's that?
It's our government. We the people own the government. That's the science behind it. That there's, you know, we don't need to go to the University of Hawaii or any to Harvard anywhere. We've taken the science out of it, the basic science, and that is we own the government. It is our government. But when people flock to the government to set up their dominions, and then they have their minions sitting out there doing their deeds and strategically placing them in there. You follow?
Yeah.
There's where we lose, and that's what's painful when I hear people say, well, you know, if I vote for Carol Cox, I could do worse by voting for Rick. But Carol
that
Cox...
That could be true.
Huh?
It's actually true, by the way.
Okay, well, you know what? Good thing they don't curse on the radio.
Okay. I want to ask you some more about Adam, but we'll save it for next week.
All right, brother.
You got a time, huh?
Wow. Well, see, I almost slipped up there, you know. But anyway, no. But this thing is really, really painful, watching it unfold. And, you know, we're running to Washington and talking to the federal government about funding the rail. And yet, you can't get a straight answer. Everything here, you as a citizen, you and I, everything is fed to us by a public relations firm. It's spoken in the newspapers in letters to the editor. You take, for example, Craig Watasi. I think he's written saying that he was part of the architecture and what have you, and he was so hurt by some comment that someone wrote opposing the. The reality is, what he didn't tell you is that the Watasi family is so tight with Mufi, sometimes they have to pry one another apart. You don't hear that. You don't know that. Mark Watasi, Craig Watasi, Paul Watasi. You see those names fly around. Go and look. Affordable homes. What is the term when you, the government support your home, the cost? All of that. These people are not just going in there and cheering on Mufi Hanneman because they like the colors that he wear and they're just true sports fans. And it is at a point now where our government is so compromised by individuals who are placing themselves, such as Hanneman, and again, if you know something about Abercrombie, and I'll be talking about him and others in the coming future, the near future, the coming future, that's a dumb statement, but anyway, the coming future, okay, that's like the gone past, okay. Anyway, that's problems when you're born in Mississippi. You at some point, you struggle with the English language. But this is what is going on, and we are stuck, man. This guy is Hanneman is so fancy. We don't address our issues with land. And by the way, that fellows thing. One of the things is that they're going to take care of the environment. Wow, I thought we hired a leader instead of a comedian. But anyway. I've enjoyed talking with you, and again, you can pick us up at carolcox.com, carolcox.com. The Tina Quizon Show is following this, the Global Entrepreneurs. And Tina, what show did you have something on air on 49?
We just re-aired the Fishermen Speak Out, and that's the one you filmed for us down at the Waipahu Bike Shop, talking about the DLNR restricting access of fishermen and some of the things, mm-hmm. camping paraphernalia, different things. So we just aired that, and you have it on your website. So if you missed that, go ahead and go to Carol's website. He's got the show uploaded so you can watch that. And thanks for putting that together, Carol. I also wanted to re-air. We had talked about the environmental assessment at one point in the summer. And people are still not quite understanding. This is something that they've been waiting for quite a while.
On the rail?
On the rail.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah. Well, when is it going to air, real quick?
I'm looking at airing it on Saturday, I think about the 23rd of February. I don't have the actual date yet,
okay.
So I'll keep you posted.
All righty. Well, thank all of you for listening. Again, aloha, and keep the faith.
Thanks for listening, and tune in again next time for The Carol Cox Show on K108.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.